Thanks for listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show on Podcast One.
Hey everyone, I'm Maggie McGrath, a staff writer at Forbes magazine and your new host for a show called Forbes on Trump.
Politicians are all talk, no action.
I'll be speaking with the editors and writers who are reporting on the 45th president. We'll hear what they're finding out about his wealth, his business associates, and the ways in which he and his policies are affecting the economy, consumers, and all aspects of the business world.
Somebody has to come out and tell it like it is.
Along the way, we'll dive into Forbes archives, which contain decades of information that will add context to the current White House administration.
So listen to this. Listen to this.
That's Forbes on Trump on Podcast One.
Subscribe now at iTunes, and don't forget to rate, review, and share.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church, but to get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all that good stuff. Diamond Dallas Page is going to come in here and talk a little DDP yoga.
Nice.
Yoga and a couple of few, and I want to talk to him about it because I picked some yoga.
Ooh.
And I'm tired of it, so I'm going with DDP. It smells.
What?
Well, I got the hot. The only place near me said hot yoga, and it's like, listen, man. For the amount that I sweat, it is like my shirt is completely sopping wet. 7 minutes into the hot yoga experience, and then I'm literally fighting my shirt, trying to get my hands over my head. You don't realize it's like a basketball shoe on a gym floor. Like I'm trying to raise my hand, my shirt's cinching, like fighting. It's like I'm sweat's pouring down my face. The carpet's getting all soaked.
Ugh.
It's a mess.
Let's
no
take
reason.
Some calls. Let's
oh, some hold calls. On. I'm not done.
I'm done. I don't hear about your sweat anymore.
Ah, I got stuff to talk about. Right. Hey, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Go to favorite tweets of mine, because there was a... So you were talking about Amy Schumer last show,
yeah.
At the end of last show,
yeah.
And her being raided and this, that, and the other. And, and somebody sent me an article, which is like, did Dave Chappelle cross the line with the LGBT community or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
His new Netflix special are drawing fire from the LGBTQ transgender jokes. They're like, drawing fire. Like, you mean the guy who plays the crazy crackhead in the Comedy Central sketches? Rick James. Rick James. That guy, we have to take everything, and he's up on stage making jokes and everything's happening. So it was funny. So I was looking at the thing that caught me as somebody tweeted this. Everything I get is someone just tweets me an article, and I was looking at it, and I just thought, wow, we're going after comedians now, which is insane.
What are you now?
Well, now, but we're going after comedians. But if you go on the article, I scrolled down and I was like, I want to read like what the comments are. What do people think about this? And there was this one woman, I guess, at the top who had a comment, Gary, about it. And it said she had something, and I don't want to screw it up. I want to wait till Gary finds it and get it right. But it was in the vein of, you know, his past stuff was okay, but I don't know if I sign off on it. Like, and I just like thinking like, hey, cunt, you don't have to sign off on anything. He's a comedian.
When did you see this?
It was tweeted me earlier today, I think, or maybe
the article,
last night. And
I've
if
got
you
the article,
scrolled,
the comments are based on, like, it says minutes from right this second. So I'm trying to figure out what would have been at the top when you saw it.
It would have been at the top, I think, this morning. But it was just a chick sort of going, I saw his last one. And, you know, I would have... I was all right with some of it. Other stuff I wasn't okay with.
But you get thought,
why is everyone the arbiter of everything?
Yeah, but
now?
There's even a more diabolical piece to this, which is, well, now that he said this, I can let my true feelings out. Now I can sit and really tell you, sit in judgment of this despicable person. It's like, really?
Well,
it's a comedy writer, comedian.
Well, the bottom line is these rags who just sort of report to report, you know, like, hey, I'm just telling what the LGBT community is talking about. First off, how many fucking people are we talking about? Secondly, this is your job. Meaning, reporters used to break stories.
Yeah.
You know, there were stories to be broken. Now they're just fucking tattletales. You reporters have become tattletales. Nobody likes that. You snitch on people. You're like girls on a schoolyard. Oh, did you hear what Becky Ann said about you? Oh, you didn't hear? Oh, because that's all it is. Yeah. Because it's nothing. I was having this funny conversation with my son and my wife the other night, and Lynette and I were both lamenting the fact that that fucktard Gavin Newsom was going to be the next governor of California. And I was like, fuck. And then I thought, what a fucking duplicitous, lying piece of shit. And, you know, people do the, he's ever going to come back on the pod? It's like, no, he's not. And it's like, why not? Because I'll fucking chew his ass up and spit it out again, because I don't sit here and fucking suck his ass like everybody else does. If you want to come in here and bring some bullshit, I'll fucking stomp you with it. And it's not because I'm smarter than you are, although this is the case with Gavin Newsom. It's because you're lying. So it's easy. So easy to punch holes in your theories, because you're sitting here lying and you're just basically cloying and lying and trying to get an audience. You're trying to get votes from a certain audience, and that's what you do, which is fine, but don't expect me to sit here and nod my head feverishly while you do it. Well, I was explaining to my son that, after that interview, I got called a racist, of course, and then I was explaining to my wife. And sorry, Gary's looking for this thing, but it's kind of long gone. It was just a woman making two comments in a row, and one of them was, I kind of like this first one, although I would have changed a few things. It was the sort of thing where it's like, yeah, I had some notes. But now this one, oh, no, now I'm gone. But the thing with Newsom is, I said, oh, yeah, no, the Huffington Post ran a headline the following morning that wanted to know Adam Carolla wants to know what's wrong with blacks and Hispanics. And so I explained that to my wife. She was like, really? Is that what they wrote? And I said, yeah. And so my son said, do people think you're a racist? I said, no. Nobody thinks I'm a racist. They just say it. So there's a difference between physically actually thinking. If they actually thought I was a racist, then I would not work.
No, they're just using the club.
Yeah, just
use head with it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Right. So I get it. And then I think my wife kind of said, or Sonny, or Lynette, I can't remember. I said like something like, well, how's that affect things or whatever? And I said, hey, if you're good, doesn't matter. There's nothing they can do about it. But you got to be good. So, Sonny, be good. Because if you're average, you'll get the shit kicked out of you if you go ahead. Well, that's why if you're average, you can't give your opinion. If you're good, you can give your opinion. If you're average, fuck it. You'll be run out of town.
Jesus.
So look forward to Gavin Newsom. He's going to get to those predatory check cashing places. I just love his. I love his approach to things, which is there are people who frequent check cashing places. Check cashing places are a business that popped up, presumably because there's demand for them. Just like. You can argue that stadium, a beer at a ball game is $11. Hey, that's gouging. That's too much. Well, people want a beer at their ball game, and I guess they're willing to pay it. So there you go. Now, that pour at Dodger Stadium from the keg probably cost them 70 cents, maybe 40 cents, but they're charging $11. Okay. Well, that's between them and the consumer, isn't it? Would you ever want to get between there? Gavin Newsom? How about predatory beer halls at Dodger Stadium? But anyway, these check cashing places exist because people want to use these check cashing places. Okay, that's number one. I think that's what this country was sort of built on. I'm fine with that.
Do they gouge? Is it expensive?
They do whatever the fuck they want because they're dealing with a high risk clientele. If you'd like to open an account at B of A, which any citizen should have no difficulty doing. You can be in junior high and could bring your piggy bank down to the B of A and go open yourself a savings account. But either way, if you choose not to do that, if you'd not like to be on the books, so to speak, or in the prying eyes of the IRS and other government agencies with accounts and your name and long serial numbers at the end of it, well, then you can take your check to the check cashing place and hammer it there and get cash. But guess what? That's a risky proposition for the check cashing place, because you're not coming in there with two forms of ID, and you're not coming in there with a long history of a high FICO score.
Is he upset because they don't get access to the taxes, maybe? Or is, I mean, what's the...
Yeah, he's upset that they're not able to tax it.
No, you know what I mean? I mean, that's why he has a thing.
No, he doesn't
it.
Give a fuck about yeah. taxes. Right. That's for you to pay, blue-eyed yeah. devil. Right. They don't get taxes from those people. Those are hard-working people. You just sit around and live off of daddy's money. You need to be taxed at a higher rate. He's not upset that they're living in an underground economy that involves cash and not being taxed. He's upset that the check cashing place is charged too much. Well, check cashing places are allowed to assess the risk and charge what they want.
Right.
He wants to live in a fucking world where, hey, grandma who's playing at the nickel slots, she should be comped in the penthouse of Caesars. And you go, well, I run Caesars, and we do comp the penthouse, and that's for whales who fly in from OPEC nations who sit at the high stakes table. Well, I don't like that world. I want to live in a world where everybody gets to stay up there. Like, hey, I'm trying to run a business. We can absorb this guy because this guy's coming in and losing a lot of money at our roulette table, but we can't absorb grandma and her nickel slots. No, no. This is what I want, this unrealistic relationship with life. So you are not forced to use check cashing places if you do not want to use. That is their prerogative. As a matter of fact, I've read articles that said a lot of people just prefer doing it that way. They like it that way. But again, that's their prerogative. And, oh, we got it. This is the one. Yeah. April was saying, thank you, Gary. She was salivating for the new Chappelle special. It had been 12 years. I knew his stuff had been problematic before. That's a stand-up comedian. I was just laughing that this young bitch was sitting here talking about his stuff being problematic. We have jumped the shark as a fucking society when comedians' work is being known as problematic. There was no such thing back in the day, me going, you know, Richard Pryor stuff is problematic. He can be funny, but it's problematic. Problematic is what you're dealing with when you're dealing with guys who run banana dictatorships, like digging mass graves and killing their own people or incarcerating folks in gulags or whatever. That's problematic. Comedians are not, their material's not problematic. It's jokes. But thank you, Your Highness. But Chappelle's material
you see her
homophobic.
Your Highness, what her Twitter handle is.
Oh, is it, what is it? Oh, don't even say it. I don't even want to give her right. any.
But it's about a majesty, Your Majesty.
Oh, right, yeah. right. Yes, but Chappelle's material was homophobic and transphobic and involved rape culture. I've grown too much not to speak up about it now. All right. I'm officially done with everybody. Aren't you, Drew?
Oh, I hate everybody.
She has to
both sides.
First off, you don't have to say anything. It's insane. Like you read a lot of these articles, they're like, it begs comment, and it's like, no, it doesn't.
I'm
doing
sick
stand-up
of
special.
Everybody coming in from both sides. I'm right in the middle, and I'm sitting here going, what the hell is going on? What is wrong with everybody? I don't hate everybody in the sense that I hate people. I just hate all this crap coming in on both sides.
Yeah. Well, the answer is everyone shut the fuck up. No one's listening to you, and who gives a shit? And that's why I have a pirate ship, right, Drew?
That's right. Thus, we will talk about our friends at Simply Safe. If you're looking for home security, it's easy to get ripped off. People are getting ripped off every day. Long-term contracts, stuck writing huge checks with no way out. It's a pain, and it's robbery. It's robbery, I tell you. Simply Safe is a smarter way to protect your home, and not only protect your home, but you can also use the monitoring apparatus there that downloads onto your phone. You can check in and look at your animals, if it's a dog or something. You can look at your elderly parents, whatever it is. You can monitor the home with SimpliSafe technology. No contracts, no commitments, no lock-ins, period. It was built by a Harvard-educated engineer. It's wireless. It's portable. You stick it up. When you leave, you move out, or it's an apartment, you take it with you. Just take it off the wall. It has a built-in cellular connection. Professional monitoring with police dispatch available around the clock. SimpliSafe 24/7 protection is just $15 a month. Most places charge at least three times that. Unbeatable protection, great value, no contracts. Visit SimpliSafe, and that Simply is with an I. S-I-M-P-L-I, safe. SimpliSafeAdam.com. And you'll get 10% off your system today. That is SimpliSafeAdam.com.
Well, Diamond Dallas Page in studio. Good to see you, my brother.
Great to see you guys. Look how high you made my mic.
Well,
I want you to sit up straight.
So you're a yoga instructor. DDP Yoga. This stuff is amazing, and the app is available on iTunes, and it's just a great story. I don't know if you saw the doc, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, Drew, but it is, boy, talk about a transformation. So Diamond Dallas Page was beat up by many, many years of wrestling, and so are many other guys by many, many years of wrestling. And it's probably the most unnatural thing you can do to your body. I mean, honestly.
When you fall for the first time, like, you got to fall flat, right? The first thing you want to do is bring your arm back. Like, that's what everybody does. You start falling off your chair, you bring your arm back. Well, you bring your arm back, you're going to whack your elbow or throw your shoulder out. So they make you, like, do, like, the craziest thing. Like, a guy's on all fours, and you bring your hands on his back, and you get your feet up in the air, and then you just fall.
Right. Yeah, and yeah. I remember I went to wrestling camp once with Jimmy, and I remember doing a whole bunch of unnatural stuff.
Right.
Jimmy, if you see that bit, he got thrown at the end, and he got jacked up.
Yeah, he did not get up quickly.
Nah, I felt bad for laughing, but it made for good television. But yeah, it is one of these things where it is unnatural, and people look at it as, oh, this sort of, you know, violent ballet or something. But
these
guys are taking a beating.
That's it. I mean, but what's natural about ballet, though? Walking around on your tiptoes, man. But it's an art, you know, and really what we do is an art, because we're trying to get you and just get that element of disbelief. Like, and it's like those two, like we were, me and Randy Savage, ooh, yeah, the Macho Man, you know, that guy, snapping to a Slim Jim, like he was amazing. And he was a god for years. When me and him wrestled together, we were the feuded year in 1997. And I'd have people come up to me all the time and go, you know, I know this, it's wrestling, a lot of that stuff's fake out there, but you and Savage, you hate each other. I loved him, yeah, but I hate him on TV.
Well, it's a
it's like the Andy Kaufman thing,
right?
Yeah. We want to talk about a group, though, Drew. I mean, you hear about NFL interior linemen, and you hear about the abuse of painkillers and the life after the NFL, and so on and so forth. But I don't know anyone who has a worse batting average than professional wrestlers in terms of drug abuse, joint stress, you know. I mean, these guys, I more than, it's funny because you think, well, football, now there's a sport or whatever, but you take football, you take baseball, you take basketball, you take bull riding, you take boxing, you take MMA, you take any sport, and you show me the average guy 10 years after he got out of the sport, I don't think there's any guys worse off physically than wrestlers.
Well, first of all, we have no season. I remember being when Whoopi had these Hollywood Squares. So I was out for one of those. And someone's like, hey, DDP, when's your season? When's your off time? When I'm injured.
And when you're injured, you got to take pain pills and go out.
And like, today, the WWE's wellness, and I'm not blowing smoke, I'm shooting here. They have the best wellness program of anybody, because you can't even take a pain pill unless it's like it goes right through them. But back in our day, that's how we did that. And Jake in the movie, you know, he's addicted to everything. One night we're out. I became like Jake's gopher. Like, I would do it, whatever Jake, because I wanted to learn from the master. And one night we're out after working, and he throws a Percocet in his mouth. And he chews it up. And I think it's a Percocet, but I'm not positive because they taste horrible, right? So I said, Jake, was that a Percocet? He goes, yeah. I go, why would you chew that? Those taste like shit. He said, it goes right into your system. I've seen you take a few. How many are you taking today? I don't know, 9, 10. Like, not even thinking about it. Like, that might have been 15 or 20.
Right.
And I said, why are you taking so many? He said they lose their potency after a while. So remember, I'm 36 years old at the time. I've just started. Like, I started at 35 and a half. I'm thinking, I need those things to work. And the reason why they don't work as well, because you mix them with the booze.
They don't work as well because you get tolerant to them over
right,
time. And
right.
You just have to escalate the dose until you stop breathing, and then you die. That's it.
So
we have a lot of guys. Go.
Diamond Dallas Page, basically, you know, how do you keep the weight off? Well, then it becomes this horrible negative cycle, which is your joints are killing you,
right.
So you can't move, so you put weight on, and now it's more stress on your joints. So how do you keep the weight off? How do you exercise? How do you get mobility back when you don't have mobility? And
right.
So DDP yoga came about, which I just think is sort of ingenious, because that was the only way guys like you and a lot of these other guys who are essentially battered, you couldn't hit the treadmill.
But, you know, for me, it was all out of necessity, because I'm that guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga the first 42 years of my life, period. But when you start wrestling so late, I'm the first guy to ice my body. No one in professional wrestling iced their body for years, and they're watching me do it. Put the ice on my knee, wrap it up, put it on my back. Like, what are you doing? Taking down the inflammation.
Right.
And they laughed at me. I mean, they had a lot of fun with me on that. Today, trainers, they got it all. But back then, when I got to 40 and my career took off in 1996, I was on 270 nights a year hitting the mat. And it would be the equivalent of a main event mat that I was wrestling in, 5-6 car accidents in a match. And my body is taking a serious beating, but the adrenaline of that 22,000 people and just you're living the dream at a whole different level. And it got to a point where now I'm like top guy in the world, and I blow my back out. I just signed a multi-million dollar 3-year deal. I don't get paid if I don't wrestle. So 3 different spine specialists told me my career's over. Now, this is where DDP Yoga comes from. And depression, you know, the whole deal. But I pull myself out of that because I don't stay depressed. I get depressed, but I don't stay there. I find that way to attitude of gratitude to get myself out of that hole. Okay, what are we going to do? And I was married at the time, and she was like, you really need to try. You need to try yoga. It could help you. And she knows how I feel about it. So reluctantly, I went down, and she showed me a couple. No, I'm not doing that one. Nope, not doing that one. And I find the power yoga. Okay, I'll try that. I can't do anything. I can't do the moves. I'm so inflexible at the moment. And I keep doing it, though, and I figure out the modifications, and in less than 3 weeks, I start to feel a significant difference. Now, I'm doing the rehab, too, and I've had both shoulder surgeries, both knee surgeries, so I know a little bit about rehab and breaking up scar tissue, so I mix the rehab with the yoga positions. Then I throw in old-school calisthenics, slow burn movement, because I can't go up and down.
Right.
I can't hit the weights. I'm doing them on my knees, the push-ups, where I lower for 3, hold for 3, come up for 3, lower for 3, hold for 3, then go into cobra into down dog. Eventually, I get off my knees. Eventually, those 3 seconds become 5, 5 become 10, 10 become sets of 10. My body's getting stronger. Like, I can feel like I'm going to get back in this ring. Less than 3 months. What is today known as DDP Yoga? I'm back in the ring.
I feel the same way. I tell you, I feel about yoga the same way I feel about meditation, which is everybody. It's easy to make fun of, but everyone would benefit from it. And we talk to people all the time who are like, I'm supposed to get back surgery or I'm whatever. And it's like, just start getting into yoga, start stretching, start something, but anything but just go under that knife.
The worst thing, man, and Hulk has had 8 back operation. Now, the guy who I've been reaching out to today big time, though, Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest athletes we know ever, greatest golfer. He has had bad back problems, and he's had 3 operations. Like, if I'd have got with him before he had that operation, I know I could turn it around because I just know what I'm doing, and I've figured out a way to.
It's weird, but I do. I don't have back problems, but everybody we've talked to that has them, I just don't know anybody who wouldn't benefit from this versus the
knife. You had them when you were depressed, remember?
I did. Yeah. I did have them when I had a combination of being depressed and, you know, working on a roof all day.
And you'd fall off a scaffolding with a power saw on your
finger. No, I haven't. I have not had a And I haven't had a back ailment since I started doing what I wanted to do.
Right.
That wasn't wrestling. I was doing comedy, so I didn't have to worry about it so much. But, boy, there's a couple things with the back. When I hated my job, and I hated it with a passion, I would wake up Monday morning at 6:15 and go, I can't turn my head. My neck felt like it was filled with poison. That's what it felt like. People say, what do you feel like? Oh, I felt like there's poison in my neck. Like, I can't. If you stand behind me and say, boo, I have to walk around to see who you are. I'm not going to turn my head.
I've been there.
And Drew knows I'm not a puss. I have like a high pain tolerance, and I was immobile. And I was young and strong. It's just that's where my mind was at. And the second I met Jimmy, the second I got into radio, and the second I started doing comedy, I've never had another back. And I've continued to, you know, box and be active and do stuff.
The way this stuff is really perpetuated today is with the painkillers.
Right.
It guarantees it, as you said, more than 2 weeks. We were talking about that the other day. More than 2 weeks of painkillers, you're on. It's game on now.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Well, I was so poor and whatever, I didn't even have an aspirin at my house. If my neck didn't work, I just lay back on my futon and hope to die. Like that was it.
Been there.
But yoga's right up there with like meditation. Like if everybody just carved out a few minutes every day to do a little this and a little that, we'd have a much better society and everyone's back would be better too.
I can sign on to that. But to tell the story about falling off that scaffolding, it's an amazing story as long as we brought it up. 2 minutes.
I was working in Silver Lake. I was on the
roofer?
No, I was just a glorified goomper, as they called them. Like I was just labor. Like people glorify construction like, oh, you're working with a master carpenter and you're an apprentice. Like, no, I'm a guy who picks up shit walking around. I just pick up garbage mainly and throw it in a dumpster. And I'd worked my way up to being able to use the tools a little bit. And, of course, they just give you the shittiest job ever. And the shittiest job ever was a house up in Silver Lake.
On a hillside?
On a hill.
Yeah, of course.
So the front door was at street level. And then the bedroom was like downstairs, you know, walk down the stairs that go down the hill. So it was kind of a two-story house, and the kitchen was up on the first floor, and they had these cement stairs, like steep cement stairs that went down the side.
Do you know those stairs, the community stairs up?
Yeah, it was like that.
Those are the ones that Laurel and Hardy were pushing the piano up and kept going.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the very stair.
Yeah, you could walk down to the street below you if you want to endure a little ivy. It would stop at a certain point. Anyway.
The Stooges had a couple of Silver Lake stairs thing.
They built a scaffolding that not went from the ground up, but just 2x4s that went out the window.
Oh, wow.
And then a platform, a plywood seat on it. I was sitting, and I had a skill saw, the hypoid saw it's called, and I had a carborundum blade, I think it was. I was cutting stucco above my head. It was a masonry blade.
So you're sitting in a windowsill.
Sitting in a windowsill while I was hanging out of it.
Your ass they made hanging out the windowsill.
Well, they made a seat.
Yeah.
Wow. Seat. And
it's got trouble written all over it.
You're two stories up.
Yeah, my feet were inside on the sill. Yeah. My ass was outside about two foot, and I was holding this big saw cutting stucco, which is a mess. I just plunge it, cutting it over my head. And stuff just rained, and you're covered with sweat, so it's like it just comes down on top of you, and
brutal.
It sticks to all you, and you feel all sticky.
It's like a wire inside, right? A wire mess in there.
It's called lath. Ugh. Yeah. Anyway, the thing with no real warning, like it didn't start creaking or anything, just popped, and it just went. Like the thing I was sitting on just went. And so I found myself with my feet just dragging down the side of this stucco building. And I knew I was going to land on the cement stairs. And I knew it was going to be bad because I was going to land sort of half on and half off. Like, I wasn't going to get my.
And you have a saw still over your head?
Is it still going?
I had a presence of mind, but I didn't remember. It happened so fast. What happened was I went down the building. My right ass cheek landed on the step.
Ooh.
My left ass cheek was in the air, but my left palm. Ugh. Went down onto the ground, and then the scaffolding came down, and I was really quick. I grabbed it and grabbed it over my head like Wile E. Coyote with the umbrella when the boulder would land on him, because I said, that saw's right behind it. It's a big saw. I wasn't wearing any, you know, hard hat or anything. Why would anyone wear that? But as it turned out, I had thrown the saw inside of the house, which was good, but my ass hurt pretty bad, and my wrist hurt pretty bad.
I imagine the neck thing was perhaps initiated there, too.
it didn't help. I wish they had DDP yoga back then. But here's the thing, and I don't know if you can identify with this, Diamond, but I limped into work the next day because I was scared I was going to get fired. And that's the lowest self-esteem anyone can have, because I didn't go in like, hey, I'm going to take a few days off, and if you guys don't like it, you can talk to my lawyer.
Right.
And I wasn't like, I'm going to the doctor and someone's going to pay the medical bill, and it's not going to be me. Like, it wasn't any of that. I remember thinking, my hips all jacked up, my hands all jacked up, but if I don't show up tomorrow,
right,
they could shit can me.
Right.
And then I'm fucked. That was my mindset, and I literally like limped into work the next day, which is, I can't imagine anyone I know doing that today, but that's the low self-esteem, everybody. You lost 140 pounds?
That was a disabled vet.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Sorry. I didn't think that was you. I'm not sure that.
Never been there.
Yeah, so yeah, it's the videos with the disabled veteran after 15 years on crutches. Yeah, he regained his ability to walk and run. Also lost 140. How did you come across that fella?
This is like 10 years ago. We're actually hitting our 10-year anniversary with him. We're doing this summit thing at the DDP Yoga Performance Center for people who've, you know, and he's going to be there, and I want him to meet different people. Anybody who got my first program, and just me, I mean, it's just me and my web guy, and we've got stuff on YouTube so people can see a little bit what we do. Mm-hmm. And anybody who got the program, I'd send him an email. You know, it's a cut and paste. I say, listen, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I just want to say thanks for getting the program. Love you to answer a couple questions, though. And his answers were amazing. So I sent it back to him, man. Sounds like you need some help. You know, give me a little, you know, the cliff notes. What's happening with you? Disabled vet, morbidly obese. This is what got me, though. Relegated to thinking of myself as a piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, send me some pictures. Now, I've never communicated with anybody online like this at this time. Like, he's right. The first guy. And he sends me these pictures, you know, where he's got the knee braces, the back brace, and those wraparound canes. Yeah. And his stomach's out to here. And I'm looking at those canes thinking, I've never worked with anybody like this yet. You know, I've had people with knee braces. I wore knee braces my whole career, wrestling, everything, basketball. Right. So it was the canes that sort of scared me. But I knew I'd lost the ridiculous. I wanted to get from being 2'6", 55, 2'6". I wanted to get down to like 230. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just like, what is the way to do it so I can start to teach other people? And I had a guy named Dr. Fred Bishy, who's my brother's mentor. He's 87. Mm-hmm. This guy was running 20 miles on the beach 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now he's down to about 10. Mm-hmm. But he's 87. He's unbelievable. He had come up with this food combining program where you don't mix proteins with carbs, but he took it a step further and made it into like an order. You eat in order. And this cat, and I know because my brother's been there and I know what food can really do to heal people, he's helped people with cancer kick it. But as soon as they go back to eating that other food, boom, they get it right back again.
What is the protocol with him?
Well, it's all about digestion. So the easiest food to digest.
And, looking at your
there's Arthur right there. That's where he was down 100. But I had Fred put that, you know, that sheet together for me that he has. The one sheet. I sent it to him. Now, if he writes back to me, I'll give it a try, or I think I can do it. I write back, awesome. Keep me posted. But he didn't say that. He said, I can do this. I said, send me your phone number. That's mm-hmm. the first guy I ever called. We had a long hour discussion. And basically, I said, I don't need to have MD at the end of DDP to say, dude, 5-10 years, you're going to have a heart attack, a stroke. You know, you ain't going to be around much longer at this level at 47 years old and your body falling apart. So he started my program. The first 2 weeks, he lost 20 pounds and 4 inches off his stomach. Now, remember, no more wheat and dairy in there. So he's not bloated. So there's the 4 inches. The 20 pounds is 20 pounds.
I like the, it's part of my new thing, or old thing or something. I like when people say, I'm going to do this. It's driving me nuts when people go, I'll see what we can, you right. know, that thing where you go, yeah. hey, you know, meet me here at this time and let's do that. And they'll go, well, we'll see what we can do. And like these kind of vague, yeah. well, these vague answers, they're driving
vague
me nuts.
Is no. That's vague answer is no. but there's another piece to this that I know you'll appreciate, which is what he was facing was effectively an insurmountable task. Mm. And people shrink away from that sure. as opposed to and a good connection or a coach will get them to get started. And right. the thing with an insurmountable task, you just start somewhere.
Right.
And eventually you start putting the bricks up and pretty soon the wall's built. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That first month, because he calls me at the 20 pounds. He doesn't want to bother me. And that's what I found with a lot of people, because I take people, like I'm doing signing in Comic-Con last 2 weekends ago. I had at least 5 people over 400 pounds come. Because, you know, 400 pounds is like no big deal anymore.
Right.
So they're over that and like, you know, I know they want to reach out to me. Out of the 5, one did. Mm. But every one of them, I told them this. I said, after we get done with it, you know, this picture, blah, 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 take my email. You take my email. You email me. I'm going to send you the list. Now, the list really gives them things to... I did a lecture on living life at 90% that I did here in Hollywood. Own Your Life audiobook. I want them to listen. I'm going to give it all to them. I want them to watch Food, Inc., Genetic Roulette, GMO, OMG, and The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. They watch it all. You put the work in, take the pictures, do all the stuff. Send me back an email. I'm going to call you. Send me with your phone number. I'm going to call you, and I'm going to help you once a month. A lot of people don't want to put that work in, though, you know, because that's really what it comes down to. For Arthur, he lost 20 pounds those first 2 weeks, calls me, and wants to know how he can keep going. And I'm like, dude, you're sort of like doing really good, you know. But instead of doing it 5 days a week, you're doing 20 minutes a day, dude. Just go to 7. Go to 2-a-days. Do a second workout in the second half of the day once or twice a week. He went to 7 mornings, 5 nights, built from the 20-minute to 30 all the way up to 60. He lost 34 pounds. Wait, I can tell you this. Doc, you'll appreciate this. The only thing he wants to do is lose 50 pounds because the VA will not operate on him. So he wants to lose the 50 pounds so he can get – he's 5'6", 297, wow. get under 250.
Right.
He lost 34 pounds the first month, 22 the second, 18 the third, which is 72 pounds in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Lost 140 pounds in 10 months. More importantly, he lost the knee braces, back brace, and canes. Never had the knee operations.
Wow, that's what
food.
I like.
Makes that's food.
Well,
that's
know,
food.
180 pounds.
You know what the other
pounds,
106 pounds.
Part of this I was thinking about when you're telling the story is, you know, it's funny because it's like a lot of people don't want to do the work.
Right.
But there's a lot of people you go, just watch this doc. Watch these two docs and I'll talk to you in a month. And then you talk to them a month and they go, did you watch the docs? And they go, I didn't get a chance to watch the... Well, no, I didn't get a chance. I've been traveling. It's like, right. wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Even the easy stuff. You know, like, what is that? Especially the other part that drives me nuts is when they know they're going to see you. Like, right. you're on the calendar for the last week and a half.
Dude.
Last time we talked was watch these two docs.
Homework.
Homework. All right. I'm going to do some homework now.
But,
cabbage.
But yes. Dude, you knew you were going to school on Monday.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But then there. I became an adult, Drew. Cabbage, baby.
Well, there's an interesting insight there.
Thank you very much. I'm evolved. Wondering how you're going to get funding for your small business? How about you use Cabbage? They help small business owners get flexible funding right away without the headaches or traditional loan.
Gavin Newsom going to allow these guys?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, if he's in charge, look out. Small businesses and folks who lend to small businesses. You can apply online from your phone. You know, no waiting in line. Scanning documents. Or tracking down financial statements. Only pay for the funds you actually use. Supported by 100,000 plus small businesses, and they've given away, or they've lent out, I should say, $2.9 billion in funding. So I think they know what they're doing. Visit cabbage.com/Drew, or as we'd figure out, just /Drew. cabbage.com/Drew. No cost to apply, and as an Adam and Dr. Drew listener, when you qualify for funding, you'll get $100 worth of Visa gift card. There you go. That's Cabbage. That's KABBAGE.com/Drew. Diamond Dallas Page, you guys, please, look, whether you're overweight or in great shape, let's get the DDP yoga. this guy, I love Diamond Dallas Page because I love that his, I guess the first part of his life was just really about entertaining people, and now it's about motivating them.
Right.
But it's always about somebody else, isn't it, Diamond? You can check out the documentary, and I've seen it, and I recommend it highly, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. That's available on iTunes. The website is DiamondDallasPage.com, and you can go there and you can check out the DDP yoga, and you can check it out on iTunes and get the app and all that good stuff. Drew, let's see. You got me. Yeah, DrDrew.com.
Dr. Drew podcast, this live.
Yep.
Spaz at me with Weekly Infusion.
You got me at AdamCarolla.com. If you need anything, the Spike Show, you can find out how to be in the audience. You want to put in a question, go to CorollaQuestions at gmail.com. You'll see my doc, The 24-Hour War. That's on chassis, chassy.com, and Amazon as well, iTunes. And me and Dennis Prager, you can listen to us. Check that out on Amazon. No Safe Spaces, it's called. Always a delight when Diamond Dallas Page drops by. Good to see you, man.
Thank you, bro. And one thing I want to show you, though, this is a year after doing the program. His 6'2" son standing on his back
while he's doing a push-up. Unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Diamond Dallas Page and Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.